When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know, this reminds me because St. Patty's Day, Darude,
yes,
was in Aggieville to perform. I did not know this until last night. Somebody in the press box told me Young Gravy is performing in Bramlage tonight.
I did know that, actually. I have a couple buddies that wanted to go to that.
So, really?
Yeah.
I know who it is. I just can't tell you any songs.
I know a scattered few, and I think, like, if I wasn't busy tonight, and, you know, I think the tickets are pretty cheap for students. You know, I might try to go, but, you know, just didn't line up.
Let's see. I'm going to YouTube here, Young Gravy. Okay. Okay, that's who I thought it was. All right.
You're like,
Is his music filthy?
It's not filthy. I would not call it clean.
Is it explicit?
It is explicit, yes.
Okay, so I can't. I'm not going to play any of these.
Nah, I'd play it safe there.
Let's see. Young Gravy Clean. Let's see what the first song that pops up. Mr. Clean.
Yeah. I don't know. That's the song title. I don't know if that's going to be clean or not, truthfully. Yeah, be careful there.
So, shout out to those going to Young Gravy tonight. In Bramlage Coliseum.
Yeah, 100%.
I think it's the first concert there since 2019.
Really?
That is interesting that it doesn't happen.
Obviously, COVID
was
a part of that.
Yeah.
I think there's a page I can find somewhere that has a concert history of Bramlage. Let's see. Let's see what we got here. Yep, Young Gravy, the first since T-Pain in 2019.
Oh, my.
Nick Jonas was up there in 18. You had Dierks Bentley back in 06. Toby Keith, rest in peace, at 04. The Chicks in 2000. Martina McBride, Mark Wills was 2000.
Did you go to that show, Troy?
He was in Colorado, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Come on.
No, I saw Garth there. Was that 98?
I don't see Garth listed here. This is not the best list. I know it's not all.
Yeah, I need to go back and double check what year it was that he was at Bramlage the second time. First time that he was there was 90.
Says here that Def Leppard was the first concert in Bramlage. I need to ask, like, anybody at K-State, do you have an archive of any of these shows? The Beach Boys, Poison, Van Halen. I think
Van
Motley
Halen was great.
I think Motley Crue Once Upon a Time
Motley
played.
Was great.
They were putting some people in there.
Oh, but you're talking early 90s.
Hey,
late 80s, early 90s.
When I was in school, it was tremendous.
I'm so jealous of that.
I know. I've been told the story once that Metallica had to cancel a show. They didn't get the ticket sales they were looking for. But
right.
I think it was at the time, though. Metallica was decently big, but they didn't get the ticket sales that they wanted.
Seeing that it's Union Program Council putting that on tonight, and I'm reminded that they were the ones that brought in Big Head Todd and the Monsters just after I graduated. Opening act, Dave Matthews Band.
Wow.
For Big Head Todd?
Yes.
I think he's getting ready to go on tour with Blues Traveler or something.
Yeah, Big Head Todd? Oh, yeah.
He's opening.
Right, yes. That tells you, though, where Dave Matthews Band was at the moment.
At the time, yeah.
Yeah, at the moment. Big Head Todd and Blues Traveler, actually, they tend to rotate Red Rocks. Blues Traveler and Big Head have over the years done 4th of July at Red Rocks. Big Head Todd tends to do actually a number of dates at Red Rocks during the summer, usually about two or three. But 4th of July has kind of been a rotation. If Blues Traveler is not able to do it, then they utilize Big Head Todd and the Monsters because he's Boulder-based.
I have only been to Bramlage one time for a non-K-State event. And I remember seeing Kevin Hart there.
Okay.
And yeah. I would like to, because I'm really, like the last few years, I've really been getting into stand-up comedy. And watching stand-up shows or listening to comedy podcasts by stand-up comedians are the best podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're better than sports. It's better than murder. It's better than all the popular podcast genres out there. The stand-up comedian podcasts are the best. What do you got there, Owen?
Had a caller come in, said she went to a concert way back in the day. Joan Jett was the headliner of Bramlage opening. Huey Lewis.
Yeah?
Wow.
Yeah, I think she said in the late 70s at some point. So,
well, that wouldn't have been in Bramlage.
No, that would have been Bramlage. Yeah. That would have been Ahern.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's what she said. She said something. I couldn't make it out. That's what
I mean, I know Billy Joel performed at Ahern at one time as well.
There you go.
How about that? I know that Sam Kinison, a few months before he passed.
Yes, I saw that show.
You were there for that?
Yes.
I think I knew that.
Yeah.
Was it good?
Oh, it was tremendous.
But wasn't it at a bar or something that burned down?
Yes. Just trying to think through here. Yes, because it was you had what was upstairs, downstairs in terms of how that building was constructed bar-wise. When I was in school, it was Brothers downstairs, and upstairs it was Spanky's. And Spanky's, the upstairs part of that, was a place where in the very early days of its development, they had put the floor on springs for dancing.
Okay.
Mikey T can speak to the fact that we had a few evenings there with another radio station back when I was in school, spinning, you know, back-to-back tracks of hot music. Did that from the DJ booth, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, at that bar. Sam Kinison performed there. I saw him there. I saw the Romantics perform there. But Kinison was tremendous. Kinison was outstanding. And I am still so mad at my brother for losing the microcassette recording of that night.
You recorded like a bootleg of that show?
Oh, yeah. You know, the little microcassette? I mean, come
That's
on.
Fantastic.
Nobody was stopping me from pulling that off.
I love this.
Do you know Sam Kinison, Owen?
I don't, but I want to hear more stories about Spanky's and Troy's old days at KSU. That's what I want to hear.
I had a good chuckle the other day because this is how my mind works. The eclipse is taking place, and there's an entire Sam Kinison routine regarding the eclipse and Jesus. Mm. My mind immediately went to that joke. No way could I pull that off on the air.
No.
But my mind immediately went to that joke.
Oh, and Sam Kinison in the 80s was a stand-up comedy rock star, but he also lived the lifestyle of a rock star.
Mm.
And what makes it even funnier is that he actually had been a religious musician at one point.
That is a full circle right there.
After the show, look up some of his comedy.
Some of his jokes.
Also, back to school, Rodney Dangerfield.
Yep.
Sam Kinison has a role as a professor in that, and it is impeccable.
Because part of his bit is like him screaming.
Oh, that's the majority of his bit.
Yeah, but he brought that to Back to School, the movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
that guy's a great teacher. Really cares.
I have
about
seen,
what I don't know.
I have seen clips of this guy before. I've seen a couple clips of his stand-up on TikTok before, so I recognize the face.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, the good old screaming.
Okay, let's transition here.
You noticed that I pulled that way off the microphone over back. Here.
We got to move on because we got Pete Hughes coming up, and I want to make sure we get to that on time. But I do want to talk about K-State men's basketball. The dead period has wrapped up, and now we are in an interesting transition now as visits are starting to be scheduled. I'm very excited about one in particular. Now, C.J. Jones is one of them. C.J. Jones is a guard that could be a replacement for Cam Carter. 36% three-point shooter this past year. He's pretty athletic. He's athletic one-on-one. When you see him on tape, you're thinking five-out offense. But another player in particular that I'm really excited about who is going to actually end, and C.J. Jones is going to visit this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
The transfer from UIC could potentially be committing to K-State this weekend. We'll find out about that. Umar Bala, though, announced earlier today that he is going to visit K-State in 8 days. Now, this is sandwiched between four others that are pretty heavy hitters. But Umar Bala is from Mali. He played nationally. He has 1 year of eligibility remaining. He's 6'10", 245 pounds. He is more of your traditional center type of player. But let me tell you, this past year averaged 13-10, and last year he played for Arizona. The last 3 years he has played for Arizona. The year prior to that, he first started out as a recruit to Gonzaga. Four-star kid. Let me tell you, Bala is a fantastic player to watch. And to me, this is another sign that of him being in the mix, and he is going to visit K-State pretty soon after the dead period ends, is a decent sign that K-State's kind of flush with cash right now. As in, well, let me give you a better example of the sound I want to play here of how flush K-State is.
A flush with cash.
Parks and Rec, John Ralphio.
Okay, then.
Because you already got Doug McDaniel, who is already a top 10 recruit in the transfer portal, who is already going to, you know, it's going to take some NIL to bring him in. And after visiting TCU, he is a Wildcat. He is committed. He has signed with K-State. And he is a five-out made point guard. He is going to be great for K-State this next year. But Bala out of Arkansas or Arizona, you're going to go watch his film, and you're going to be like, wowzer. Eyes popping out of your sockets because he's so talented. He's a big guy with a ton of athleticism. He will post you up high paint, and he'll dribble in, and he'll make you look silly. Great rebounder. Like I said, he averaged 13 points, 10 rebounds this past year. Not a great free throw shooter, but he's going to rebound. He's going to attack the boards for you. He's great off the ball screen. His pick and roll move is so good. But the thing is, he is great with his feet. He's not slow. He is going to attack on the post-ups. This kid's an athlete. And once again, the first thing I think of when I see his athleticism is like, man, you five-out offense, that kid. I think we're definitely seeing a consistent trend with the players that Jerome Tang and company are recruiting right now. Now, along with this list as well, there's a transfer out. And I just saw this information right as we got kind of into the segment, and I lost it, unfortunately. So I'll have to cover it maybe a little bit tomorrow. But there's also a Florida State transfer that's coming in. I just need to get that information gathered and get more on him. I haven't watched his film yet. Again, just found out right before the segment started. So there's another potential new cat visiting this week with C.J. Jones. But that was another like 6'11 big kid who's more of maybe possibly a stretch four that is super athletic. At least that's what I know about him so far. But for Bala, he is very athletic. He can be quick with the feet. And he is good one-on-one. Everybody that K-State is recruiting that'll get a visit is athletic, can score at the hoop, and great with their feet. Athletic. They can go one-on-one. There is definitely a type of player that these guys are looking for, and they need more on the roster that is better one-on-one. That's so good, they're probably going to draw an extra defender, and that will lead to, if they got the route, take it to the hoop or put a shot up. Or you have a kickout. And with the guards they're recruiting, the depth that K-State will hopefully have this upcoming season. You're going to hopefully have a decent amount of shooters. Which, at the beginning, that's what the five out was intended to be. Options. Spread out the floor. Athletes all over the floor. That's what's intended to be. That's the goal, at least from where I'm, you know,
yep.
from my research, that's exactly what they're trying to find, is check all those boxes with everybody they're bringing in.
And the intent going into the season this year was to be positioned that way. It just didn't pan out. When you think about the athleticism that was in place, Tyler Perry, Cam Carter, Naquan Tomlin on the interior, being able to stretch the floor, you know, there was athleticism, but there was going to be depth that probably was going to be the issue. Now you're starting to talk about depth being a part of what they're pursuing on top of the athleticism.
Well, and let me add to it. I mean, and there's more to it as well. There's more boxes they're looking to check with all these guys. Another part of it, another thing these guys have in common is they're pretty useful in transition. There's no panic mode. They know where to go with the basketball. They're not making a bunch of bad decisions or anything. Transition is also a part of their game. And with their athleticism, they can be a part of getting out and run. With Ballo, maybe not as much because he's a bigger guy. He's not going to be sprinting up and down the floor all day. But, boy, is he a guy you can lob it to all day long.
Mm-hmm.
He will post up, and there's not a whole lot of people that will be stronger than him. So, again, that's going to be a tough out, like, to actually get him. But the main key, first of all, is that he is going to visit. He'll be here in 8 days. He'll be here for a weekend. He set 3 early visits, and then it was announced later that he's added 2 more. So the schedule is he's got Indiana first. He'll then head to Louisville. Then comes the K-State. The exact dates are April 19th through the 21st. And then after that, he has also added visits North Carolina and Florida.
Mm.
So obviously a ton of competition. But this may be a sign of, boy, first, if K-State could pull this off, wow. What a monster get if K-State can pull this one off. But also it will be another sign of K-State fans and donors have joined in on the effort to make K-State's recruiting better. K-State has made the bigger effort to push NIL, to push Wildcat NIL. Those at Wildcat NIL have done a better job of bringing in the money, and there's more people listening. And obviously, it's a bigger deal, and I think the stock is up that Jerome Tang is now back. The stock is up, and people are believing more in Jerome Tang.
Let's also note that one of the big factors with NIL that I like, and I think about this in conjunction with the Ahern Fund, in a lot of ways, people that maybe feel like that the Ahern Fund is out of their reach feel comfortable participating in NIL. That while their money, you know, may be just a limited amount in comparison, they feel like that it maybe is doing more in force. If you get what I'm saying. It's kind of the grassroots donation aspect of it.
Umar Ballo, I didn't even list off his accolades. He is a 2-time first team All Pac-12.
Mm-hmm.
He is, once upon a time, was named a All Defensive Selection. 6th Man of the Year once upon a time,
mm-hmm.
out of the Pac-12. This guy's he's a force to be reckoned with. And that is the guy that you're like, man, I'm glad he's on my team. Because playing against him probably isn't too much fun. I mean, heck, I think in the last game of the NCAA tournament against Clemson, he had 15 points, 15 rebounds. Pretty good. Especially in having that NCAA tournament experience. And I know Jerome Tang likes those kind of guys.
Yes.
Owen, did you have something?
No, I was just, I don't know if you saw my eyes popping out earlier. I was sitting there watching his tapes as you were talking. I was like, build as true. This is insane.
I don't know how long he's been in the portal, but I didn't know he was on K-State's radar until today when mm-hmm. the story came out that, oh, he has K-State on his list of visits of his five schools. So exciting stuff. So guys, mark this down on your calendar, April 19th through the 21st. Umar Ballo is going to be in town for his official visit here at K-State. A timeout. K-State baseball coach Pete Hughes joins us next. Well, this weekend, K-State, who's tied for third in the Big 12 standings, the Madcats head to Norman, Oklahoma. The Sooners are tied for first with the West Virginia Mountaineers. So obviously, this is a big series this weekend. Matt Walters will be on the call for all three games Friday, tomorrow. First pitch will be at 6:30, 4 o'clock on Saturday, and then Sunday will be at 2 o'clock. Now, pleased to be joined by the head coach of the Wildcats in Pete Hughes. Coach, let's first just look back at yesterday, sweeping the Wichita State Shockers in a comeback win yesterday, 6-3. Love to get your thoughts on the game. That was a big win.
I thought it was, yeah, it was a big win. You know, in college baseball, it's just not always defined with conference or, you know, you got to win every game. It's part of your resume, you know, and it's what the national community looks at. And, you know, Wichita State, then state, it's, there's a lot of ramifications with the recruiting, et cetera, but you want to play well in front of a good crowd. We had a nice night. The weather was great. The people came out, and we always want to play well when we have a good crowd come out. But you're right. It was just the little things, you know. It was getting your bunt down, not getting your bunt down, defending the plays in the infield, two-out hits, situational hitting, you know, all the things that, you know, decide those close games came into play last night. And like I said last night, it's always great to watch a team have success in pressure, high leverage situations. And that's what I'm most proud of as a coach, when you see your kids play well under pressure.
We did talk a little bit about not allowing any walks, just the one error. And I was taking a look at some of the stats earlier today. And I mean, even though it feels like there's been a bunch of errors once in a while, that you're still one of the better teams in the Big 12 on not committing errors. Limiting the errors is in like in one inning. It just doesn't snowball. If it doesn't snowball, is that the biggest difference in the world?
That is. You know, it's, I think, you know, 10 days ago, we were first in the conference in fielding percentage. And we had a couple bad games at Central Florida defensively, and they bunched up on us. But that is the ebbs and flow of major college baseball is usually determined with one inning. And if you can damage control that defensively, if you can make a what could be a 3 or 4 run inning, a 1 run inning, and conversely, if you can seize the momentum and recognize when your big inning is there and then have that momentum in your dugout and score 3 or 4, those usually determine, you know, how the game ends up. And we've been pretty good at that lately from an offensive standpoint. But last night, you know, we have it's a 3-0 game, and they have first and third with no out. And J.J. Slack comes in, and we get out of that situation with no runs, giving no runs. That is a perfect example of snuffing out what could have been a really big inning for Wichita State.
Yeah, J.J. Slack was really impressive through his 4 innings. Also, somebody who's been really impressing me lately at the plate has been Jaden Parsons. He's a grad senior. He's here for just 1 year, and he's hitting over 400, though his opportunities have been limited. But he's actually, I thought, made some of the best plays in those limited times of clutch hits. And then last night he had the 2-strike bunt that ended up loading the bases. And you mentioned that he got that opportunity because you really trusted him. How has that trust grown throughout this season to get that opportunity?
You know, you just watch kids on a daily basis, and his work ethic is on point, meticulous. His attitude, his baseball acumen is through the roof. This kid's played a lot of baseball. He's always looking to get better. He knows it's his last year. He's always asking questions about the game, what we can do situationally. And he's super talented, you know, when it comes to controlling the bat and bunting and hitting and running and stealing bases and the little things, you know. And So when he was in that spot last night, it was really a no-brainer for me to give him the bunt again. I was just surprised he didn't get the bunt down with the first two pitches. But, there's an unbelievable amount of trust that we have in him as a player. And, you know, he's gone from being a utility guy, spot player, to really making his way into the everyday lineup because, you know, our team feeds off his energy and his productivity. He just does all the little things, you know, and I always preach the little things win your game. So I need to play the guy that excels in doing the little things, and that's kind of where we're headed right now.
K-State baseball coach Pete Hughes is our guest. And going back to pitching, I know you're probably asked about him a ton, but first of all, it's been great to see the bullpen continue to grow. I think, you know, Owen Borma's really started to settle in now, but you've been without Tyrell all year long. Is he getting closer? Is he getting better? Is he getting healthier?
Ty threw off the mound yesterday morning to live hitters for the first time, so that was a big jump in his road to recovery. It's a finicky thing, you know, with pitchers in their arms, and we just want to do the right thing by Ty. He could have signed and played professionally last year, you know, so we owe it to him to err on the safe side for his future, for his health, for his career. But there's no one that wants to pitch for the Cats more than Ty. But he's getting close, Mitch. He's getting close. I wouldn't be surprised if he's on the mound throwing an inning or two in the next 7 to 10 days. Well, that's good news.
Yeah, that's absolutely good news. This weekend, and also midweek next week, going up to the Northeast is pretty big. Up next, you have the road trip to Norman to face the Oklahoma Sooners. That's a team that's a game ahead right now. They have a lead. They have the lead in the Big 12, tied as well with West Virginia. But what's your thoughts on the Sooners this weekend and how big this series is?
It's a big series. Conference-wise, it's big, sure. And then, you know, if you look at what we're trying to do is build our national resume and get into a situation where we're in the national tournament, and if you finish in the top one or two in our league, you're in host conversations. And I know we're a ways away from that, but this would be a big step into having more concrete conversations about that. You know, they're 24 in the RPI. It's an opportunity to win on the road, which helps you RPI-wise. And, we're looking forward to going on the road. I think we play well on the road. We didn't play well last weekend, but we do take pride in going on the road and playing well. So we didn't play well last time we went to Norman. a lot of us are still here, and we want to play better going down there this time around. It'll be a good series. I think we match up pretty good against those guys. They're playing pretty well. You know, they're coming off a good weekend, and we'll see. We're looking forward to it. Our guys know that this six-game stretch starting last night with Wichita, and then going to play three games in Norman, and then UConn and Northeastern are huge for our season and how we're going to be evaluated at the end of the year as far as the national tournament is concerned.
Well, Coach, to wrap up, I'm sure you heard O.J. Simpson passed away this morning. It was announced. You may have been too young for this, but do you remember O.J. as a Buffalo Bill?
Do you remember his nickname, Mitch?
The Juice?
That's right. That's right. I remember watching O.J. as a Buffalo Bill. What number did he wear?
That I don't know.
32. I remember watching him, and then I actually remember watching him when he was at USC. Phenomenal running back, terrible human being. I'm glad I'm on record saying that. But yeah, he was. I remember watching him. He was awesome. Believe me, I'm a Patriots guy, so Patriots Bills. So I was locked in on that. He used to smash the Patriots pretty good. But that's all I got for you with the OJ.
All right, well, Coach, really appreciate you squeezing in. Thank you for your time, and safe travels down to Norman.
Bye, Mitch. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Once again, that's K-State head baseball coach Pete Hughes here on The Game. Coming up tomorrow, they start their three-game series at Oklahoma. Friday's first pitch at 6:30, 6 o'clock sharp here on KMAN for pregame coverage. When we come back, Troy will give his eulogy on O.J. Simpson after these words. I want to give a shout to David. David, I got your email about Bramlage concerts that we talked about earlier in this hour. Mentioned that the first Bramlage event was just for donors, but the first public event was the Beach Boys in 88. Meet and greet with Mike Love, that's pretty cool. Says the Van Halen concert was one of the best days ever.
Yeah, I would agree with that one.
Let's see here. Says he was in the audience for Howard Stern's last appearance on Letterman, which Don Rickles was there.
Oh,
that would have been perfect for me because Don Rickles is, I think, one of the funniest people to ever live. Howard Stern, of course, you know, we used to do, we used to work together, you know, back in the day.
Kicking it around the water cooler.
Yeah, and he also was in Aggieville for Sam Kennison, so that's pretty dope. And also, somebody hit me up on Twitter to say that every show is archived. So, if you're still listening, I'd love to get my hands on everything archived when it comes to concerts at Bramlage Coliseum, if that's possible. And I could, like, do something cool with it.
I gave you an idea earlier that I would have loved to have seen us be able to do with the radio station I was working at in Greeley, because I had the idea of taking recordings of the Greeley Stampede shows and being able to do things with those on, say, a Sunday night, you know, a retrospective and go back and look at some of the great. But then you start dealing with what the bookers and the agents and the music labels and the artists, and it becomes very overwhelming very quick to try and deal with all of the aspects of trying to get clearance to play those songs.
I have some ideas.
Just imagine.
I'll let you know if I, you know, actually get my, you know,
right,
get access to
right.
Those.
I've got you.
Those that are archived.
I got you.
I can just imagine a K-State transfer announcement video, and it's just like grainy footage of Van Halen and Bramlage setting it up.
Careful with that grainy footage there, bud.
I mean, if K-State had actually filmed it themselves, I bet it's good quality. I bet it's solid quality. You know, it's still 90s quality, but it's still good. Like,
yes,
you know,
true.
Yeah, true.
Maybe remind you of those old 90s movies, Twister or something like that.
90s quality.
Hey, Troy, you...
Speaking of 90s quality...
You want to say anything nice about O.J. Simpson?
Yeah. No.
Nothing there? Quick, dead kill to the left.
Passed away. Well, it was announced today. He passed away due to battle with cancer, prostate cancer, at the age of 76. His playing days were, I wasn't even alive for. What I was alive for was the Naked Gun movies. What my generation knows is that he was acquitted of the charges of murdering his wife and her buddy.
I remember literally having been at a ball game and wrapping up, had been a 6 o'clock start, so got done in relative early fashion, wrapping up, and it was just right there in town, and heading back over to my apartment after the game was over. No concept of any of this going on. Turn on the TV so I can watch the NBA Finals. And instead, I'm watching the Bronco Chase. And it just, again, still just floors me. A number of people have pointed out throughout the course of the day on social media that, as much as anything, that trial can be seen as the precursor to reality TV becoming the norm.
Because the Kardashians knew OJ?
Not so much because the Kardashians had the ties too, thanks to Robert Kardashian.
Yeah, the dad was an attorney.
Yeah, Hugh Golddigger. Anyway, no, more so because, you know, Court TV had wall-to-wall coverage of the hearings. And it was everything that people talked about. It was your lead story on the newscasts, the network newscasts. and the interest in it. There had been crimes of the century before that had had interest, but this really became the one where cable TV gained its footing, if you will, and found an easy way to draw eyeballs for programming, through programming. And reality TV in this mode was what it was. Everybody had an opinion.
I remember my biggest memory actually from all that, the Bronco Chase and all that, was you may know this, Owen, WrestleMania 12 featured a match between Rowdy Roddy Piper and Goldust. Goldust is Cody Rhodes' older brother. And it took place outside in a parking lot. And at one point, Goldust gets in his car. It's a Cadillac. He takes off. Well, Rowdy Roddy Piper is following him in a white Bronco.
Oh, geez.
And they turned that into a bit during the pay-per-view. They would check in on the chase. It was just footage of OJ.
Right.
You know, racing down the highway or the interstate there in Los Angeles. The WrestleMania just happened to be in Anaheim at the pond.
There are so many things that are being said about all of this today. And it's interesting because the football aspect of his career just completely went away in people's minds.
Yeah. I don't, like,
there's barely a discussion about the football career of O.J. Simpson today.
There is a majority of people that you say O.J. Simpson, and they do not know that he played football. Like, obviously anybody that works here does.
He's a Heisman Trophy winner.
Yeah. He ran for over 2,000 yards in 14 games.
He was a analyst on Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
It was ill-fated that year, but he was an analyst on Monday Night Football.
I mean, he did end up spending years in prison because of stolen memorabilia, and he got caught in Vegas. And I will tell you what, if you've never seen it, I highly suggest watching it. So the people that made American Horror Story made a American Crime Story called The People versus OJ. It's really good.
That's one that I have pulled aside and just never have gotten to. It's
very good. Great cast. Yeah. Sarah Paulson plays the curly-haired gal,
Marsha Clark.
There you go. The district attorney, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. John Travolta.
Prosecutor. Wasn't the DA, but was in the DA's office. Yes.
But and then you had John Travolta.
Yes, as Robert Kardashian.
No, that was David Schwimmer.
Oh, okay.
But Travolta I'm blanking, but he was also on the defense team.
Okay.
I'm blanking on the name. But anyway, Shapiro.
Ah, Shapiro. Okay. Yeah, all right, gotcha. Yeah. Just
fact checked.
Unbelievable when you look at the legal team alone. That legal team that was involved in that. By the time you had Shapiro, Kardashian, Alan Dershowitz thrown in there, and Johnny Cochran. Bailey. F. Lee Bailey. I mean, the hard hitters that were involved in that, and Dershowitz will tell you that it may have been one of the worst groupings of people that he'd ever been around, just in terms of the fights they had over how best to handle this case.
Johnny Cochran, I remember him becoming just an absolute rock star.
Yes.
For attorneys.
Yes.
Because of the, if the glove don't fit, you must acquit line. I may have butchered that, but it's pretty close.
That's it, yeah.
But wasn't that whole thing, it's like, what was the thing with OG? Like, when he was like allergic to something, or he would have a reaction and his hands would swell, and they knew that, so they had him put the glove on?
The other aspect of that is because they were leather gloves, had they been wet, which with blood they were, so they shrank a little.
Yeah. That's always the one that I hear the most about, hearing about the trial afterwards.
Oh, the prosecution did such a lousy job with the investigation regarding that. The entirety of the investigation and the court case itself wound up being such a series of miscues and missteps. Mark Furman comes to mind immediately.
Well, and the other big part of this, it took forever.
Yes.
The whole trial, yes. The jury, it took a long time.
Yes.
And this jury the whole time, like, they're in a hotel room, they can't have TVs, they can't do anything. Every night they would just watch a movie together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you would go mad. They're ready to get that done. And once they saw the glove thing, they're like, good enough. Let's call it.
We're good here, yeah. Didn't he also write a book afterwards saying, I didn't do it, but here's how I would.
If I did?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A TV documentary. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Kind of.
Someone shared the Saturday Night Live bit that had Tim Meadows as him, as a TV analyst on drawing on the telestrator that draws out, I did it. We were having a good laugh over that earlier. Brandon points out in our news chat, how many people are going to watch Game 5 of the 94 Finals tonight just for the flashback?
I'm serious. Watch The People versus O.J. American Crime Story. It's really good. It's really good. I think the jury, they talked for like a few hours.
Yeah.
Like everybody was expected to be like off for days. They're going to go vacation in the, you know, in Maui or something for 3 or 4 days and then come back because a weekend was coming up. I think it was a Friday.
Yes.
When they adjourned and then they could, or the jury could do their thing or whatever it's called. And nope, they were done with a few hours. They're ready to give a verdict.
Again, and here we are, as I said, everybody had an opinion. Here we are in 2024, and we're still sitting here talking about, because we all saw different things.
All right, let's see here. Owen, what do you think? Just get out when we need to get out. We could squeeze in a question or two, a little Ask Us Anything.
Yeah, I got something here for you.
Oh, you got it? Go ahead. Well, we'll wait.
Fire away.
The music. Oh, there it is. Okay. What do you got, Owen?
You know, I fired this at Troy yesterday, and I wanted to know your... we're talking about the Orioles because Jackson Holliday's coming up. Is there a favorite prospect debut as far as baseball goes you could think of? Or just maybe it's a cat that came up? Just somebody, some type of baseball memory. That's what I'm kind of looking for here. Anytime, and I guess it doesn't have to be baseball. If you're thinking of somebody getting called up.
When Michael Beasley became a cat, and I was a junior in high school, I couldn't have been more glued to the TV and ready to go to see that debut.
Yeah.
Because I can't think of a basketball player that, and you can imagine why, number one recruit in the nation.
Right.
When it comes to anticipation to watch his first game, and it was an exhibition, you know?
Right.
Against, I can't remember, Washburn or Emporia State or whoever it was. Couldn't wait to watch it.
Did you go for 30 that game?
That's my answer. Of any sport.
Of any sport. I could definitely 100% see that. Did he go for 30 that game? Do you remember?
I don't remember, no.
You got to dig. Talk about finding something in the archives. That's the one.
That's
you
the thing.
Find.
He, I mean, and again, you could have the – I say that you could always – there's an argument that you could debate that Marquise Noel had a better individual season than Michael Beasley. But when it comes to just how good a person was – with their God-given talent. I mean, Michael Beasley is obviously going to probably win most people's argument, but I could make a case for Marquise Noel.
What do you think, Drew? I don't remember your answer from yesterday.
Well, and you didn't term it necessarily the debut, but just moments. Debut-wise, it would have to be Bo's debut.
Oh, yeah.
With the Royals, because of everything that had gone on surrounding that, leading up to him signing with Kansas City and getting his opportunity at AA Memphis to start, because, you know, he was drafted by Tampa Bay to play for the Buccaneers, and he made it clear he was not going to play for Hugh Culverhouse, the owner of the Buccaneers at that time. And so he essentially made himself a free agent for football by doing it.
All right, so the Michael Beasley debut in 2007 was against Fort Hays State. The Cats won 95-59. Michael Beasley with 35 points.
He's got a special place in my heart, too. He played on the Knicks there for a little bit. Your favorite player from the left, Kevin Durant from the left side, your favorite player's favorite player. I do love some Michael Beasley. I join you in that.
Oh, it scared me for a second. I was like, you're just going to...
Yeah, I'm just cutting the
music. You're just going to shut it down?
Yep. I'm just going to kick us out of here.
Yeah, we're done.
All right. That's going to wrap it up for the show. It sounds like it's just going to be myself and Owen tomorrow.
Because
Troy is going to bounce early before the show. He says he's got something to do.
Yeah, it's the last of the Three Musketeers weddings this weekend.
There you go. All right. Decent excuse. I'll allow it.
We're back with you for a full two tomorrow, leading into K-State baseball at 6 o'clock tomorrow against the Oklahoma Sooners. For Owen, Troy, and Mitch, go Cats.